Dearly beloved in Christ, we begin this first Sunday of Advent, and during the liturgical season, it is most fitting to take up extra prayers and penances in preparation for Christmas. Of course, the season of Advent is not as strict as Lent, but we prepare for these great feasts because we wish to sanctify ourselves and to offer to God to imitate our Lord. Just as he prepared for his passion and death by prayer and fasting, so we too prepare for the days commemorating the life of Jesus Christ and Our Lady. Truly, we can gain many graces, not only from the practice of prayer and penance, but as a preparatory act, of course, it sanctifies that day and makes our prayer and sacrifice more pleasing before God. But we know, too, that God has given us through the Church these seasons of preparation so that we will reflect on the seriousness of sanctifying ourselves and of saving our souls. Today's Gospel very clearly directs us to reflect on the end of the world. Advent reminds us that Christ will come again to earth, and then it will be the end of the world. But more specifically, the Last Judgment is brought to our attention. And there shall be signs in the sun and the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, by reason of the confusion of the roaring of the sea and the waves, men withering away for fear and expectation of what shall come upon the whole world, for the powers of heaven shall be moved. During Christ's mortal life, says the commentary, our Lord is known only as the Good Shepherd who came to seek and save. But at this last judgment, in which he will appear to justify the dealings of providence before the eyes of the universe, and to put to confusion the enemies of God and his Church, he comes clothed with power and majesty, to the great terror of those who have abused his long-suffering and mercy. Let us bear in mind this last judgment and the terrible sentence to be pronounced against impenitent sinners when tempted to evil. The Gospel of St. Matthew adds more to the picture. He says, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with much power and majesty. And he shall send his angels with a trumpet and a great voice, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest parts of the heavens to the utmost bounds of them. The commentary on this section prompts us to imagine this picture and the emotions that the just and evil will experience. Imagine the joy that will fill the hearts of the blessed at the sight of the Son of Man in heaven. They who have so generously carried their own cross here will gaze with delight upon the cross of Jesus. Consider the confusion of those faithless and hypocritical Christians whom our Lord will be forced to place on his left hand. Naturally, our minds wonder when this end will take place. When will the last judgment be? But we know from Scripture that it is impossible to know it. Neither faith nor science can predict the day or hour, as our Lord himself told us, this concerning the time of the end of the world. Of that day and hour no one knows, no, not the angels of heaven. But we know that the end of the world on an individual level is when we die, each of our particular judgments following. We know that death is not too far away for any of us, relatively speaking, but we would have nothing to fear if we did proper penance for our past faults and remain habitually in the state of grace, that is, free from mortal sins. The month of November now coming to a close, we have had ample time to restate in our minds the necessity of avoiding venial sins too. But they may not cause us the loss of heaven per se, although they certainly pave the way to mortal sin, but they most certainly will cause us great suffering in purgatory if we do not sufficiently make reparation here on earth. I might add that striving to gain indulgences is something we all should do regularly, being careful to follow the instructions of the Church on how to do so properly, and teaching these practices to our children at a young age. Although the time of our death is more predictable than the end of the world, it still remains an uncertainty, and thus reaffirms the notion that we must keep our immortal souls in the state of grace. Take ye heed, watch ye therefore, for you know not when the Lord of the house will arrive. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Be ye also ready. These are the words of Christ himself. A meditation book on the Last Judgment has this to say. The destruction of the world is clearly announced by St. Peter. The day of the Lord shall come as a thief, in which the heavens shall pass away with great violence, and the elements shall be melted with heat and earth, and the works which are in it shall be burnt up. So what is to become of this visible world, which so much fascinates foolish people as to make their sacrifice, as to make them sacrifice even their most sacred interests on its account? But remember that you, by reason of your baptism, have renounced all attachment to the use of this world. St. Paul in 1 Corinthians says that time is short, and that those who use this world ought to use it as though they used it not. The meditation book continues, "The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall rise again, incorruptible," from 1 Corinthians 15:52. Some hint of the scene of the resurrection is afforded by the prophet Ezekiel. "As I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a commotion, and the bones came together, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, the skin was stretched out over them, and the spirit came into them, and they lived, and they stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. The just shall rise in glory, for immediately their bodies will be incorruptible, impassible, immortal, subtle, agile, and clothed in brightness. The wicked, on the other hand, will rise in shame, for their hideous and repulsive bodies will serve only to intensify their suffering. Remember that of these two kinds of resurrection, yours will be that which you will have merited for yourself during your lifetime on earth. So, dear friends in Christ, let us be prepared to face death and even the end of the world, whenever it may come upon us and wherever it may find us. We do not act as though this world was an end in itself. We do not live as though there were no consequences to our willful actions, behavior, and decisions. But we also do not act as though God does not love us, or as one who has not hope. If we are pious, charitable, chaste, just, humble, and patient, we are ready for anything, and we will rejoice when the sign of Jesus Christ appears in the heavens and the trumpets of the end times echoes across the world, for we have embraced the cross all our lives and have kept the commandments. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.